They'll ask, why can't there be multiple ways to God? Why must it be so inclusive? Friends, I think that's the wrong question. I think the proper question as Christians is, why did God provide any way of salvation?
Amen.
He started, he was in glory by himself. It was the Father and the Son. And he was not bored 1 minute in eternity past. He had his Son, and the Son had the Father, and they were in perfect unity and in perfect harmony, and they loved one another. But God chose to create a world. And on the sixth day, he chose to put in this world a man after his own image. He created him in his very image, and he breathed into that man life, and he became a living soul, and that separates him from the beasts of the field. He then gave that man a wife that was perfectly matched to him. And he told them, you have this entire garden. There's food growing out of every tree in it. It never rains and it's never hot. You never have to worry about being attacked by one of these animals. They're all docile. They're all tame. There's no sin. But there's one tree that I ask you to not eat of. And as soon as he told him, the man and his wife went directly to that tree.
Yeah.
And God told him, if you eat it, you die. They ate of that tree. But God showed mercy. Instead of taking their life, he took the life of two innocent animals, used the skins to cover their nakedness. He then calls Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, which is a pagan area, pagan nation. And he says, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And through him shall all the nations of the world be blessed. This is a prophecy never before heard and never since heard. Through you, Abraham. What did Abraham do? He went into his handmaiden, had another child, Ishmael. God was very angry. Instead of cutting Abraham out, he still gave him Isaac, the promised son. Gave them Canaan. But then there was a famine. And the people of Abraham, they had to escape to Egypt. But God had already prepared a man in Egypt named Joseph that has put up food and was able to sustain the Israelites in that time. Well, then, while they're in Egypt, they decide to stay. Before long, they're enslaved and they begin to cry out, Lord, save us, for what we are toiling under a great and heavy burden. God raised up Moses out of the desert, sent him there, and turned the river into blood. He turned disease against cattle, and he showed them that he is the God of the earth. He's the God of the river. He's the God of the sun. He's the God of the flies, the God of the frogs, the God of the weather, and he is the God of life and death. And he led them out. He crushed the greatest nation the earth had ever seen. And led them out. And it wasn't just a few days. They had melted down their earrings, formed a calf, and began to worship it. So God raises up prophets and begins to work with the people. You must turn from your wicked ways. And the people say, I'm tired of listening to these prophets. We want a king. God was very angry. But he gave them a king. And in that, he even gave them godly kings. He gave them David, a man after God's own heart. He gave them Hezekiah. He gave them Asa and so many others that were godly men who led Israel back into line. But they continued to stray. And every time God was merciful, the people forgot and sinned more. So he sends more prophets. He sends Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Nahum, Habakkuk, Micah, so many others, telling them, you must turn, you must turn. God will take you back if you turn, but you are living in such a wicked way, you are going to be led away into bondage if you don't turn. And the people took those prophets, they hated them. They even took Jeremiah and put him down in a pit so they didn't have to listen to him.
Yeah.
So then God sends his son. Jesus comes, he preaches, and even though the people said, in him is no guile, they hated him, and they crucified him. When we stand before the risen Savior, how can we look at the nails in his hands, the wound in his side, and say, Jesus, you have not done enough. There needs to be more ways. It's not fair that you're the only way. Oh, friends, how? How can we look at the nail-pierced hands and say there needs to be more, that we are owed more?
Amen.
Friends, this is the bottom line of the exclusivity of Christ. We look at what he's done. And what does Jesus ask us to do in return? He's asked us to bend our knees and pray to him.
Amen.
He says, he didn't ask if you pray. He says, when you pray, pray on this wise. He just says, pray to me.
Yeah.
He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come through me. Don't seek other gods. Jesus is not asking that we do something absurd or ridiculous. Well, others will say, but Jesus is basically a Western concept. It's America and parts of Europe. But you go in the Southern Hemisphere and there's very little of him, particularly in the Pacific area. How are those people? I guess God hates all of those people. Friends, we have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit was delivered. The job of the Holy Spirit is to go out with the searchlight of God and say, which are the ones here that are loved of my Father?
Amen.
Which ones here have been redeemed by the precious Jesus?
Amen.
And when he finds them, he says, you're coming home with me. He changes their heart. He redeems them, and they will live with God in glory.
Amen.
Friends, this is not a Western concept, and it's not arrogant to believe in the exclusivity of Christ. It is peace. It is safety. And I would ask that we renew our hearts to him. Remember that it's not that he's done too little for us, but that we have done too little for him. May God be merciful.
343. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.